This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the Morgan Report podcast for the month of July. I have something that I think is of paramount importance, and it's a gentleman I met at the Red Pill Expo here in Spokane, Washington, headed by Edward Griffin, true friend and a true patriot. Kent had something that he passed out on most of the desks around, and I picked it up, and when I got home, I read it. The title is called The Decentralized Cryptocurrency Nightmare. And boy, that intrigued me because I was a pretty early adopter and I did not jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon, even though I was one of the first to know about it, believe it or not. However, I was ticked off very early by Charles Savoy that did a great deal of research for the Silver Investor website that the NSA had actually put out a white paper looking for information about a decentralized cryptocurrency type of situation. And so that gave me pause. And then on top of that, further research on my own, I think it's InQtel that is basically an arm of the CIA that funds different startups and that kind of thing, primarily through the Silicon Valley, but not exclusively. And since they were involved in Bitcoin, those two things gave me pause. I thought I'd just take a wait-and-see attitude. About 4 years ago, I kept getting asked more and more about my take on Bitcoin, and my take was, one, I'm for competing currencies. I'm definitely for that. That I wasn't certain about Bitcoin, and if it became very popular, we might see something taking place where government hates competition. Well, after reading this decentralized cryptocurrency nightmare, I thought, man, this is the guy I have to interview. So, Kent, you're one of the most outspoken people on specifically blockchain technology. What's your background that gives you the experience to be an expert on this topic?
Hey, David. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. David, I've been in software for about 25 years. I develop platforms. And way back in the 90s, I was a participant in the invention of real estate transaction standards, or RETs. And that's how all the different MLSs and the real estate software platforms communicate. And I've also done a large amount of payment processing, both in rent payments and HOA payments. A couple years back, or not too long ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I heard an interview on SGT Report with Sean and Lynette Zhang, and I had just cloned Ethereum to use the smart contracts within our Freedom Market. And I sat back in my chair and I said, uh-oh. And I did my own research, and I did a couple of hundred hours of research, and what I found, the facts of what I found, are nothing short of astonishing.
Well, tell me more.
Well, you know, in short, what central banks, corporate banks, governments, and corporations are doing, and this is not theory, this is fact. They're placing every conceivable product and service in the world on what they call private blockchains.
And all right, let me stop you there and ask the question properly. So, you know, because I want to make this crystal clear as I can. The cryptocurrency experts, and I put experts in quotation marks, state that because Bitcoin is decentralized, that this is a threat to central banks. And they're worried. The central banks are worried because it's a threat to their system. And I want your take on this because you're going to get this a lot of fact, not puff, not fluff. This is the real truth about the matter. And I think people are unaware of what's really happening.
You know, I've heard this from many people on, you know, John McAfee, who I know, Jeff Berwick, who I've spoke with, Cliff High, who I've communicated with, Bixware, who I've communicated with. And they all state this, as does the majority of the decentralized cryptocurrency community. Well, yes, it is decentralized. And yes, peer-to-peer transactions are anonymous. However, the cryptocurrency community and the blockchain community collectively make up approximately 1% of the world's population, okay? So the other 99% of the world will be purchasing products that are on private blockchains. Well, When you look at the decentralized cryptocurrency, that it utilizes a public blockchain. What that means, it's open for the public to anytime go and look at it, and you can view any transaction ever made. Okay. Well, now what a private blockchain is, it's just the opposite. You require permission to go and view it, which is fine for a bank account or something like that, you know, because it gives it an extra added layer of security. Specifically, what they are doing is they're tokenizing every conceivable product or service in the world, and they're placing them on what's called private blockchains. And then what they're going to do is they are going to go to a cashless society. And when they do that, 99% of the people, and let me take about five steps back. There's an organization called the International Organization for Standardization, ISO.org. And they have created standards for every industry in the world for blockchain. Okay. And then the other thing is when you go and you in the future and you purchase products or services at the grocery store, it's going to have an RFID chip. Or maybe if you buy gas at the gasoline store, it's going to have an associated RFID code. Okay. So what happened? And then you're going to be able to buy products or services initially with your device or with a debit card. But what their objective is to also chip every human on Earth so that's the method that you pay for everything with. Okay, are you up to speed? Do you have any questions on that? Do you understand it?
Yeah, so far you're going to be a cashless society. Everyone's going to either be chipped or have access to a chip to make their payment and take us from there.
Stay up to date on everything in the global economy, the currency crisis, cryptocurrencies, and the hard assets such as gold and silver. Sign up for our free weekly perspective updates at themorganreport.com. While you are there, be sure to check out our membership services, where you can get expert trading recommendations and read analysis for just $50 per month. The Morgan Report is a world-class publication aimed at helping you secure your financial independence, regardless of the economic outlook. It's the knowledge you need to protect and grow your wealth.
Yeah, so if you look at the debit cards, they all of them already have a chip. They're getting us used to it. Okay, so yes, they are correct. 1%, the 1% that makes up the cryptocurrency world, those transactions are anonymous. But the other 99%, they will be able to in fact impose carbon taxes or worldwide value added taxes, and they will gladly tax 99% of the world on every transaction, and you will have no privacy. You won't have any cash money. So if you purchase something on one of their blockchains, they will know. Furthermore, there is a company based out of New York that was founded by the New York Federal Reserve. It is now a private company. That company is called Digital Currency Group, or DCG. This company has literally recreated the entire world financial system in blockchain technology. And so that's another mistake that these cryptocurrency so-called experts make, is they only focus on the decentralized nature of, let's say, Bitcoin. Well, that's not what these guys have done. They've done everything with blockchain technology. DCG, or Digital Currency Group, three of their board members are also on the board of governors for the Federal Reserve, including Larry Summers. They own Blockstream, the core software development company for Bitcoin. AXA Strategic Ventures, a company out of France, they're invested heavily in Blockstream, and their CEO is also the long-term chairman of the Bilderberg Group. So I own software companies. I know this much. If I control software development, I control the software. They control Bitcoin. That is a fact. They own Ripple. They own Zcash. They own Coinbase. they own Circle, who just bought Coinbase. Just 2 weeks ago today, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that it is now legal for states to be able to charge state internet taxes. What are they doing? They're paving the way for internet taxes. Okay. And so what I have done, and I could even take this a step further here in the next few minutes of this conversation, but what I've done is I've created a technological approach within a decentralized cryptocurrency, and I've created a open source marketplace, places, plural. I've created private marketplaces so that when the time comes, we do not have to participate in that system.
I'm not up to speed on this very much, but if you could come back, you named Zcash. Now, my understanding of Zcash was, you know, that gives you anonymity. Am I mistaken?
I didn't quite understand that. Say that one more time.
My understanding is that Zcash is one of the ones you just named, and I thought Zcash was one of these like Monero where you really have anonymity if you're in that system.
Yeah, they own it. If you go, so if you go to my report located on www.freedom.social, freedom.social, if you're using a desktop computer, it's going to be on the far right side under a section called Freedom Exchange, Useful Information and Links. It's available for free. And then just go down to page 5 or 6, I believe, where I've listed multiple companies in which a digital currency group owns. I mean, they own technology that reads public blockchains. So on page 2 of my report, I get into details of how the CEO of Chain and the CEO of Blockchain, by the way, both companies, digital currency owned, both CEOs have stated there will be a convergence between private blockchains and public blockchains. That is because they can read the transactions within the blockchain. And so anybody that doesn't want to participate in this beast system, and that's what it is, I've created a technological approach in which my objective is to work with the cryptocurrency and the separate blockchain communities to build out technological approaches so we never have to participate in this, in their system.
So this part of the big plan that Wen, who did Lynette Zhang when she was interviewed by Sean on SGT Report, basically that they were going to, how did she state it, blockchain everything. In other words, any tangible asset out there from tea to trees was going to be on the blockchain, and everything was going to be recorded, everything was going to be known, everything was going to be available to, let's say, somebody somewhere that wanted to look it up, they could find out, and it could also tax you on the basis of whatever the jurisdiction or the tax plan was in place for that, you know, for that transaction.
That is what Lynette was saying. She was kind of referencing a company in China called ACChain.org. It's a company in China that had cloned the Ethereum cryptocurrency, but they tied the cryptocurrency side of it to the IMF SDR. And then they literally tokenized all the tea in China as their pilot market. Then they moved on to Texas and they were tokenizing real estate in Texas. And then they locked Americans out from participating in the sale. And that's what got me started into my research and where I've ended up today.
So what's your take, Kent? You think this is part of the plan to basically enslave humanity? I mean, I've heard even Mike Maloney, who's a close personal friend as well as, you know, colleague in the gold-silver space, say that, you know, it could go one of two ways. We're kind of at a fork in the road. It could be a very freeing thing for humanity, meaning the blockchain, or it could be very enslaving thing for humanity.
He's perfect. Mike's very brilliant. I love his work. He's correct. Blockchain can be extraordinarily beneficial thing for humanity, you know, because you can have the blockchain reside in so many places simultaneously. So, you know, you can use it for education or science or what have you to benefit humanity. On the other hand, when it's utilized by central banks or central authorities, they can also enslave humanity. I believe, this is all detailed in my report, I believe this, well, I don't believe, I know for a fact it is. It's part of the UN Agenda 21, 2030, smart cities, the smart grids, the smart meters, and the blockchain is the matrix or the, you know, in which the 5G will run everything, in which I stated that wrong, in which the AI will utilize the 5G to run these smart cities. And what they want to do is they want to force everybody out of the rural areas into these smart cities. And this blockchain and this cryptocurrency part of it is just part of it. They literally, this is the most diabolically evil, sinister plan in history. The first time I ever talked with my friend G. Edward Griffin, I said to him, Ed, this is going to make what they look like, what they did on Jekyll Island, look like a walk in the park. And it is. And so, I don't want to be too self-promoting here, but I believe that people need to know how they can circumvent what they're doing. And what I've done on the Freedom Platform is I've created an entire ecosystem from communication to decentralized marketplaces to a cryptocurrency that does not participate in the, will not participate in these private blockchains. And what I believe, and I really do, I'm not a Sunday church going guy. I'm a spiritual guy. I do believe in a higher power. I think Jesus is about the coolest guy to ever walk the face of the earth, just my personal beliefs. But I believe that they are in fact creating and forcing prophecy. Just think about it. They are creating a cashless society in which they are going to force people to buy and sell on their systems. And that's just not going to work for me. It's not going to work. Yeah. You know, so what I did is I created.
Sorry, Kent. I'd like to interject here, and we will get back to what you've done, because you've done quite a bit. But, you know, near the end of this, this is where, you know, I was like, excuse the metaphor, but almost foaming at the mouth, because, you know, I haven't heard much about the big picture of the blockchain. So this is directly from the report. You, meaning you, the reader, understand blockchain technologies goes hand in hand with Agenda 21 and 2030 and the control system. It's about control. It's about a cashless society with everyone connected into a digital grid where everything about you is uploaded in real time onto the Internet of Things via the 5G life killer system. And I want to pause there for a minute, because the first person that taught me about 5G was Max Egan, and I consider Max a friend. I was able to spend some one-on-one time with him at the Anarchapoco conference, and Max is one of my heroes, and he just is basically no holds barred with that guy. But that paragraph, that one little paragraph I just read, I'm going to read the next one, is like phenomenally important for us as humanity, regardless of, you know, I've made a ton of money in Bitcoin or eCash or whatever the heck it is. This is more important than money, because this is a control grid. Terms of projects like 5G smart grid, smart meters, sustainability, smart cities, climate change, all of this is a technocratic planning and justification for control and rule, utilizing energy and controlling how we purchase goods and services. Further comments, please.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's exactly what it is. And so what we need to do is there's no running from technology. The only thing you can do is build within the confines of the law, technological approaches to participate in an alternative ecosystem so that we never have to participate in that.
Take me further down that road. So let's say we get on to your website, we start using this private cryptocurrency, I think I'm using the right words here, and so I go down to my local gas station, and I don't even want to be in that other system, but I need to pay. So am I going to have an RFID tag on me that's going to allow me to pay using this system? How's it going to work?
You know, that I try to stay within the world of fact. But you know, what I can do is just project out and envision what they're going to do, and they'll take it in steps. You know, they'll get rid of the $100 bill first, and then they'll just start to phase out money. You know, they used India, getting rid of a part of their currency is a pilot market. They're using Sweden and Latvia as other pilot markets for chipping everybody. They've even got RFID chip pilot markets in San Francisco right now. And, you know, they'll start phasing out money. And then, you know, we might have some type of false flag event. You know, that's total speculation. But they've got to do something to kick this new world order monetary system, worldwide one world government financial system into full swing. And in order to do that, they've got to get America out of the way. They got to get the dollar out of the way. You know, they've turned, you know, the entire world economic system into a Ponzi scheme, you know, with quantitative easing, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, at any time that they so choose, they can collapse everything. So right now they're still in the preparation stage. And so, you know, what we have to do, and again, I'm not anti decentralized cryptocurrency or decentralized blockchain, you know, but we have got to build out our own systems that do not participate in their beast system. And that's what I have done.
Okay. But how am I guaranteed that your system will work at the end of the day? Meaning, you know, I go to my local gas station, I need to pay. I'm not on their system. I'm just on yours. How do I know that yours will interface with whatever the receiver is at that gas pump?
Well, I don't want to give away any technological secrets right now, but I can assure you, you know, I can assure you that we are taking steps to make sure that our cryptocurrencies, you know, will have a payment method that will be accepted. You know, but then again, they control, you know, the SWIFT system. They control, you know, the credit card system. So at the end of the day, if you know, they could create legislation and say, no, you can't do that. So, you know, all I can do is continue to try to be innovative and develop additional technology. You know, but here's a good example. Bitcoin, there's two different types of cryptocurrency. There's a cryptocurrency called proof of work, which is like Bitcoin or Ethereum. Then there's another type of cryptocurrency called proof of stake. China has taken over 90% of Bitcoin mining. Okay. So yeah, does the Federal Reserve control Bitcoin? Yes, fact. End of discussion. They do. But China controls the mining for Bitcoin. So if China were ever to outlaw Bitcoin mining, well, Bitcoin would go down in value because of that fact. Notice ironically that they banned ICOs, but never Bitcoin mining. Kind of make you scratch your head. Now, on proof of stake, it's a different type of cryptocurrency, and the miner is built into the wallet, and it does not take up any resources. And so what we do is we've got 10, our cryptocurrency is called 1776, and we provide 10 block rewards for every block in the blockchain in which is rewarded or created by a particular staker. And so 3.9, 1776 go as staking rewards. Then we've got something called masternodes, and those are the heart of the network. And those create the majority of blocks within the blockchain. And so if you own a masternode, you get 6 1776 per block reward, and you earn about 1,000 1776 a month. You know, I can't make any promises on the value of the 1776 cryptocurrency, but I can tell you when they just looking into the future, when they start getting rid of paper money, they starting announcing that all products and services are on private blockchains. I can assure you the 1776 cryptocurrency and the Freedom Market will be more popular than Craigslist.
Well, I'm going to probably leave it pretty much here. We may go on and on. I want to make another comment. You know, I just mentioned Max Egan a moment ago, and Max basically has said that, you know, the 5G, the Internet of Things, is the new world order. That's it. Yeah, and I recall meeting him in the hall after, I think, that same day I had breakfast with him. And he had gone over to the main event, and I was hanging out reading or something, but he said it was all about cryptos, and I was out of that room. And he came back and he said, these people have no idea what they're doing, basically. There's a lot of young people, and the inference being that they don't know that all this, let's say, euphoria around the crypto space was actually a noose around their neck. And now that I've read your paper and we're having this conversation, I think there's a lot more deep evil involved in what's really going on than most people are willing to admit. All they see is an upside that, you know, they can put in $1,000 and become, you know, worth $500,000 or some crazy thing. And yet they don't see the bigger picture, that this is basically a well thought out decentralized system that the, for the most part, millennials and free thinkers and libertarians are actually spreading the word for them, and they don't realize that they've actually got the noose around their neck. Am I mistaken here?
You said that perfectly. Again, these young millennials and other folks, like the cryptocurrency experts, they have amassed a large amount of net worth. And, that's fantastic. I'm a libertarian. I'm a free market thinker. And more power to them. But with that said, the libertarian community has been tricked into creating this beast system for them. And, there are technological approaches to circumvent it, but everybody's got to get on the same page. Everybody has to start telling the full truth and working together. That is my objective, is to get the cryptocurrency community and the blockchain community to unite to circumvent this. And that's what I'm all about.
Great. Well, let's give out your website. And if you don't mind, if you have the ability to give out your email. And the reason I'm asking you to do so, Ken, is because we're not going to block comments on this, and we're going to get a ton. And a lot of them are going to be negative, because a lot of them are going to start off with, you don't understand, meaning that I don't understand. I'll accept that, but you don't understand. And I think we really, need to be able to respond to at least some of these. And I think a good idea might be to kind of, review the comments after, let's say, 3 weeks or so. And kind of put, because it'll be similar ones again and again and again, and do another interview to kind of clean those up so that there's more factual information. But I think anyone that's listening to this interview, let's take some self-responsibility, people, which means you should go to the website, freedom.social. You should download this report. You should read this report at least once, if not two or three times, before you make any comment whatsoever at all. And why do I say that? Because one of my many pet peeves is how valid somebody's opinion is. Well, everyone's valid has an opinion. Yeah, everyone has an opinion. But what you really want is a studied, thoughtful, considered opinion. And you can only have one of those if you actually look at the other side and study it and understand where they're coming from. Then you can form an opinion. But it's so easy to just get on your computer and use a bunch of ad hominems and call me, this, that, or the other thing. And, that's rather immature. And we're facing some great stakes here. And it's basically humanity at stake. It really is. I see it that way, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. So, Kent, would you be kind enough to help me out with the comments here and give out your email so that they can direct most of this technical stuff toward you rather than me?
Oh, you bet. The website's www.freedom.social. There is a forum there. Anybody wants to go there and sound off, you're welcome to. But like David just said, I would ask you to do your due diligence first, read the report, and One last thing. Anybody that's a naysayer, consider this. Us within the cryptocurrency and blockchain community make up 1% of the world's population. Yes, transactions are anonymous. Okay. But what about the other 99% that could be buying products and services from grocery stores that are on private blockchains that utilize standardization created by RFID chips in which they have technology to read public blockchains? Come on, guys, use your heads. Okay, let's unite. Let's come together. And my email is kent at
Social.
Very good, Kent. I'm certain I'm going to have you back on, and I guess I'm going to leave with a final comment, and that is, again, attributed to Max Egan. Max's name has been used a lot by me tonight, but what he pointed out, not only about the 5G, was the social credit system. And I was of the belief in my, you know, early 20s through 30, even probably up to 40 years of age, that financial freedom, for the most part, financial freedom meant freedom. If you had enough, you know, of these pieces of paper saved or invested or both, that gave you a lot of clout to be able to do what you wanted to do, go where you wanted to go, you know, eat where you wanted to do. I mean, a lot of freedom, real freedom. That no longer is true. And the reason it isn't true is the social crediting system that China has implemented has, I think, at last time I spoke with Max, like 11 million Chinese. It's not based on how much money you have. So a ton of money doesn't get you anywhere, because if the social credit system says that you're a bad person because you spoke out against the government, or you're a jaywalker, or you chewed gum in the wrong place, or you dissed somebody, or whatever the case may be, and your social credit rating goes down, you might not be able to get a hotel, you might not be able to fly, you might not be able to get a train, you might not be able to do any ordinary things. You might not be able to get credit to, you know, purchase a home. So this is the direction that we're going. And again, as you stated in your paper, it's about control. And this is what it's about. These people that are at the top don't give a fig about money anymore. I mean, they've got more than they ever used. It's all about knowing everything about everyone all the time, everywhere, except, of course, themselves. And this is what I want to examine on our next interview, because I'm sure there's a lot to talk about in that realm.
You know, David, I forgot to mention that we also give 10 free 1776 to everybody that registers. And, you know, I'd be grateful if everybody registers. And even if you don't agree, you know, we need to be cordial. We need to be professional. And, you know, if you believe I'm wrong, let's discuss it, you know, and let's find common ground and let's unite and let's make this a better world.
And I consider myself to be an intermediary in this genre. I mean, you know, you might end up doing an interview with, you know, one of my friends. You mentioned a few of them that have a better handle on this than me. But again, I'm still on the skeptical side. When I read your paper, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck stuck up, because I said, wow, this is what I see. And again, you know, after this discussion with Max, it's like, this is, you know, it's, what is it? It's the Trojan horse. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing. It looks so good. It's so great. Oh, all the libertarians, the free market thinkers. Oh, it's great. I'm going to be outside of the system and blah, 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 blah. But hey, folks, you know, what happens when that wolf pulls off that sheep's clothing? What happens at night when the Trojan horse is inside the walls? And this is what we got to look at. We have to really do some critical thinking here, people. And again, please, before you start bashing me or bashing Kent, please take the time for yourself to form an opinion. And if you got one, said, look, this is wrong on page 6, this paragraph, you know, those are the kind of things that are constructive criticism that we can all utilize to help each other. But to just name names and go on whining, please, you know, go to another interview. I really don't have time. Ken, do you have any final comments before we close out?
You know, I think you pretty much summed it up. You know, my intent is, you know, to save humanity, to wake up, to save the savable, to unite. You know, to bring millions of people together so that we can live as Americans. You know, they've intentionally divided us, you know, with this divide and conquer strategies. And, you know, I built this Freedom Platform is also an independent media platform. It's a citizen journalism platform, Truth Seekers platform. It's a platform to take action. It is not a social media platform. You know, it's not a place to debate left, right, the false left-right paradigm of that is American politics. You know, if you want to discuss left-right politics, go to Facebook. You know, we're here to, you know, kind of to just tell the truth, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, if I might interject, sorry, I'm really good at interrupting, but you're getting me exciting. You know, you put up a kind of a mandate on the site, and I copied it out because I thought it was so impressive. I was going to leave the last sentence because it was very powerful to me. And this is from your website. This is what you're saying. Our mission is to set truth upon the world, pay you to spread the truth, and together set the world free. Now, that's a pretty high idealistic statement, but you know what? I'm idealistic as well. And if not we, then who? You know, someone's got to do it. So thanks for being on my first podcast. I'm sure we're going to have to do another one, and I want to do another one. Hopefully we'll have enough really very good constructive criticism, and I may pass the torch. I may ask a guest interviewer to come on and ask you some more questions, because like I said, I'm a novice at this. I don't pretend to know a whole lot about it, but I know enough to know that, you know, when the NSA was involved in the white paper, when Incutel was involved in funding it, and the facts you gave us tonight about exactly how the banks are involved and at what huge level they are, and it's adjunct to Agenda 21 and 2030. Come on, folks. Let's see both sides. So I'll leave it with that. Kent, thank you for your time. I can hardly wait to get you back on.
Thanks for having me on, David.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.